Welcome to Pod Drop. I'm your host, Mark Stanyush, and this week in the world of film and television, I'm going to talk about the recent Aaron Hernandez Netflix docuseries, I guess. It's three episodes. I mean, it's essentially a documentary with a couple natural chapter breaks, but I didn't cover a movie or a television show last week, and I apologize, but I'm glad that it gave me time to complete this series and kind of wrap my head around some point that I'm trying to make here. And for those of you that don't know Aaron Hernandez, he was a tight end for the New England Patriots, who was then convicted of murder and under trial subsequently for another double homicide before killing himself in prison several years later. And the story is interesting. The story itself, I mean, the documentary does an admirable job of kind of highlighting those key details. And I'll start with what I like. And it is that. It's the kind of the behind-the-scene look, not so much the courtroom stuff that's kind of boring a little bit. If you saw How to Make a Murderer, you kind of know what to expect. What it did offer was a little bit more context. Particularly, there were phone calls from Hernandez to family and his fiance in prison that give us kind of this post-prison or post-conviction look at an interesting figure who, you know, had it all and essentially threw it away in what seemed like a reckless killing. And what you see there is, you know, a portrait of Hernandez that we kind of never followed after the conviction. Like, the documentary itself even highlights how much less publicity the double homicide trial that he went through post the conviction of the first murder, and how it was a night and day comparison in terms of media coverage and all that. And, you know, rightfully so. Like, this man is in prison for life. People, obviously, the stakes aren't as high when he's facing another life conviction. You only got one life to spend in there. So those little details that kind of continued the story that we already heard so much about was probably the best part of the documentary. And what I also like is it is relatively concise storytelling, right? It three episodes running about an hour and hour each. That's a 3-hour documentary, and it's appropriate. People that know my taste, I do like things to rather be, you know, 30 minutes shorter rather than 30 minutes longer than they need to be. There's something to be said about telling a story in a shorter period of time. I know the highly acclaimed OJ documentary that came out from ESPN a couple years ago, or I guess now would be almost 3 or 4 years ago, but that was two-hour parts. That was a 10-hour documentary. And yes, OJ Simpson was a more historic figure, and that trial and case has maybe more historical significance. But in the same time, you know, as that was critically acclaimed, so I'm not here to go against that, but there's something to be said about tighter storytelling. But what I didn't like about the documentary, and I guess I'm not spoiling anything, really, it's all common knowledge, and if you haven't seen it, it might be worth watching, but ultimately, I don't think the documentary really had much of a point, right? It did a great job of documenting what happened, and I guess to its credit, it didn't have inherent obvious bias throughout. But at the same time, you want the storyteller, in this case it was director Gino McDermott, to take a stance and say something meaningful. And rather, he kind of did more of a scattershot approach. I'm just going to cover everything and kind of leave it open-ended and let the viewer draw their own conclusions, which I think anyone could do through enough research of maybe reading some key facts of the case and come to that same conclusion in, you know, 5 or 10 minutes instead of over 3 hours. But let me go through some of the examples. There is the big reveal. Something as a sports fan myself who is especially plugged into the NFL, but may not have been as plugged into this case as it was ongoing, I had either forgotten or never really understood the angle that Aaron Hernandez was gay. And the documentary tries to paint a picture of an internal conflict of his sexuality and the necessity of having to hide it in a macho football culture, and the sort of rift that can create that could, I guess, turn someone into a killer. I don't buy it, if you can't tell, but I guess when you're throwing a million things at the audience, you know, that's one that sticks. It's pretty salacious too, right? Like, it definitely is kind of the headline, and the reveal of it is done, I don't want to say tastefully, but done quite well, where you're kind of hearing about his high school success, and the high school quarterback is talking about how they were, you know, big men on campus throughout, and then all of a sudden the high school quarterback goes, oh yeah, and we were also essentially in a gay relationship. And it is, as a contributing factor, as the movie tries to tell, is interesting, I guess. But then they go on to talk about concussions. Okay, so he suffered X number of concussions through high school, let alone in college, this and that. And the concussions can cause CTE. And for those of you that aren't familiar, that's the degenerative brain disease that's shown in particularly football players, including someone like Junior Seau, who committed suicide out in his post-playing career about 10 years ago. And he, in his suicide note, wrote that he wanted to have his brain donated for research because he was aware that something wasn't right. And it was revealed that his brain had basically shown signs of like shrinking or darkening in different spots that suggest this repeated head trauma. Even lighter stuff like, you know, not the linebacker hits that lay someone out and they're out on the field, but just the continuous head trauma can cause the brain not to function properly. And it's not new. You know, Will Smith was in the movie Concussion, and this is a well-documented thing, but did the concussions cause Aaron Hernandez to be a killer? Well, I mean, think of all the other players that suffer the same head trauma, and are none of them, did they all turn into killers? Well, no, but were any of them gay? Like, it continues to just throw things at you, hoping to kind of make a point. It's also somewhat anti-weed and saying that he had smoked a lot of, he was basically chain-smoking weed, but that also could have been to help with his anxiety of being gay. And it paints a picture of a guy who ultimately was troubled, yes, but it doesn't necessarily want to point to one thing over the other. What I was actually very interested in was some of the details about, well, I might be biased as someone who doesn't like the Patriots, but it exposed the Patriots as essentially enabling him by helping him after the murder, the first murder. Now, he didn't, let me rewind this for a sec. The Patriots weren't aware of the murder, but they were aware of Hernandez being like increasingly paranoid, and he summed it up as getting a death threat. And they helped him basically rent a secret apartment where he could escape his fiance, daughter, all his troubles. And the reports were that he would just chain smoke marijuana at this hidden apartment all day. So there was a story of essentially the Patriots enabling him. And this doesn't paint the Patriots in a very good light, nor does it football in general. It's certainly I guess that would be maybe the stance it takes. Though it is fair to throw in a couple of players who take a certain stance to defend football in the same way I kind of did. Like, this, everyone is going through this. Is that an excuse, or is the man just troubled? So if you're looking for, you know, a big profile name and in a story and a very well-told documentary that doesn't seem to shy away from anything, then this might be worth the three-hour time. If you were hoping to come away from this with either, you know, your point of view reinforced or challenged, I don't really think this documentary successfully does that. It literally just kind of goes over the facts. And does it paint him in a sympathetic light, you know, with the suicide and his daughter that he obviously left and the family he left? Not particularly so. Like, it is ultimately a tragic story any way you spin it, but I don't necessarily think that it tries to, you know, lead the audience to sympathize for this killer, essentially. The story itself, of course, it can be summed up, maybe reduced to something as simple as, how can a man who was given so much opportunity and success throw it away for someone who looked at him wrong at the bar? Because that's what the story is, without spoiling. I mean, it is essentially common knowledge. Like, the double homicide that he wasn't convicted of later but had occurred before the single homicide was reduced to basically, he was, someone spilled a drink at him at a club, and he waited for them to leave the club, drove his car up beside their car, and shot like 12 rounds into the two passengers over a spilt drink. The later murder was actually his fiance's sister's boyfriend, who was a, you know, semi-professional football player who they created a friendship. And like, it isn't fully, you know, conclusively explained why, but there's suggested in the documentary and the news around it that he may have discovered that Hernandez was gay, or if it was simple as not, you know, giving him that little disrespect, as simple as spilling a drink, if that could, you know, if that's all it takes to get someone to take another person's life, is it really the football culture? Is it this, or is it just a troubled individual who, you know, grew up in a household where, you know, physical violence wasn't unusual? So it definitely is, I guess, an interesting story. So I don't necessarily regret watching it, but I don't know if I came away with anything more than a more holistic understanding of the events. And I guess that allows me to come up with my own opinion. And that opinion is that it was potentially a perfect storm of misfortune that led this young man to, you know, eventually commit suicide after destroying the lives of many others. So I don't feel sympathy for him. And the documentary is not something that's going to, you know, lighten your day. But if you're in for something a little heavy, it's not overly long. And I would recommend it to somebody who, like me, was interested in the story when it first came up, but rightfully let it, you know, drift to the back of my mind as I continued to follow sports in the way that I love to, which is the good stories, the triumphs, and all of that. So if you have 3 hours to kill and you want to see perhaps the cherry on top of a terrible 12 months for the New England Patriots, I guess, in terms of being in the news, like I do, then give it a chance. But you know what? If you just kind of want to hear some of those more interesting tidbits, I think you can save yourself a little bit of time with a quick Google search and a little bit of reading. So that's it for my review of the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix, three parts. I actually never said the name of it because I guess people just refer to it. It's Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. That's it for this episode. If you are interested in more content, check out the feed. I have a couple more episodes this week and have been pumping out episodes all month long. So I'm sure there's something there that would pique your interest. Thanks for listening.